38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of November in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. 503-733-2970. Sarah Dillon is rubbing sticks together, attempting to build a fire for warmth in her studio.
It is not 72 degrees in here.
You want to know what it was? You want to know what it was in my bedroom when I woke up this morning? Yes. Because we have our clock has a whatever thermometer thing on it.
I hate it when you make me guess. 51?
51 degrees in my bedroom this morning, which is fantastic because we have the electric blanket, though, so that is fine. That's the prescription for restful sleep if you're mean. You get the room itself as cold as you possibly can, and then you have like the electric blanket or just like a bunch of quilts or whatever. That's how you sleep. It's like the contrast of cold outside air and then like the warm bed. That's I'm not one of those guys. Like I can't have the heat on in the room when I sleep. It weirds me out. But it's what in here? 70 what?
It says it's 71.
Well, that's nearly room temperature. Room temperature is 72, isn't it? Tim, what's room temperature? What does the news department say room temperature is?
72.
There you go. So you're only 1 degree off. You're fine. You're not cold. God, my grandparents used to do that. My parents would dump me at my grandparents' house with reasons unknown, days on end sometimes, and I would complain about things, and especially my grandmother was a mean, horrible, callous, lemony snicket type woman, and her response to everything was just to tell me that whatever it was wrong, wasn't wrong. I'm hungry. No, you're not. Shut up. I'm cold. It's 42 degrees. If it's not, be quiet. You're fine. Shut up. Good times. It's 503.
Is she dead now?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
She is. And then she had a lot of trouble breathing for the last 5 years of her life, too. That was good. 503-73. She could barely raise her voice to curse Jews for ruining everything in the world. It was my grandmother. Jews control the weather. And then God finally killed her. 503-733-2970. It's a sitcom in the making. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. That is how you engage with us electronically, my friends, mi compadres, my amigos. It's 503-733-2970 for the phone, and you can email us rick@rickemerson.com. I had this big observation I was going to make about a thing, and then it went away because like five things happened at once. Sarah started rubbing her hands together. My phone went off, and then I dropped a thing on my foot. Damn, now I've got nothing. And we have no stenographer today. Yes, we have no stenographer today. Is that correct, Scotty? Now, we will not identify. I have to tread carefully here. Okay, so I will not identify the stenographer, whoever he or she may be. I understand that he or she is not in a position today to be weighing in, at least at the beginning of the program. And tracking the items that we attempt and endeavor to discuss right here on the Rick Emerson program. All right. Okay, well, we'll just, you know, here's the thing. Scotty, we'll bring you in here in a few, and we'll do it ourselves. And we'll just do it here. We'll do it internally. And then this person, I think they're going to be able to call us back at the end of the program. I hate to start off by talking about the weather, but I can't see the window from here. Is it raining outside?
No, it's clear and sunny.
Okay, because I walked over that.
Well, that's all I can see from. I'm looking at the parking garage. Could be raining.
No, see, I got this because I left my house without my rain gear this morning, and it was just goddamn cold outside today. And I know that it's not going to get any warmer, and so this is going to be the only day I should talk about how cold it is because it's going to continue to be cold for like the next 12 weeks, and it's going to get old real fast. I'm just saying it was one of those days when you walk outside and it felt like somebody's whacked you in the face. That's what it felt like, but that's okay. But you know what it is? But I had the bicycle anyway. You know why? Because. And here's the thing, if you don't bicycle for, and then we'll move on, but if you don't bicycle for a while, and you undoubtedly found this out, Sarah, because I think there was that time a while back where you slacked off and you were driving, and then it's like, and then you bicycle the next day, and your legs are just, it's like your body is angry at you.
No, I never slack off. I've only driven to the office if I'm going somewhere right after.
Is that true?
Yeah, I've only driven like 3 or 4 times.
Well, it is. It really is aversion therapy, though, because it costs like $11 a day to park anywhere, which is just...
I've taken the bus numerous times, which is just awful.
Oh, the bus. The bus sucks, and not only does the bus suck in the morning, the bus sucks a lot. At least in the morning, you're about half asleep, and you can't really process the fact that you're sitting there next to a bunch of genetic defectives. Let me ask you this. Did you ever end up sitting next to a guy or standing next to a guy? And this is often on the bus, and Tim Riley can tell me whether or not this happens on the Max as well.
But
when you, like, when it must just be clean people when you get on the Max, and then by the time you arrive here, though, it's packed with filth. Because in the suburbs, I mean, everybody is scrubbed. Like, right, there's just a... They don't let you in the suburbs if you're dirty.
Not necessarily. There are a lot of servants living in the suburbs. It's particularly rancid going home on a rainy day.
It's like you're marinating inside a sweat sock.
Like,
a lot of servants. You know, I try to be scrubbed, but my man is often unbathed and foul.
Genius. It has this rancid odor.
It's not so much
that... kind of kicks up by the time you hit the zoo stop.
It's
all out gagging by the time you hit Beaverton Center.
It's not so much the heat as it is the gardeners. But here's the thing. Is that they... sometimes you will be on the bus and you'll be next to a guy. And this happened to me last night in line at Safeway. Have you ever been stuck next to somebody? And I'm not talking about a guy who's, you know, he's done a hard day's work. And you know what? You're not, sometimes you're just not fresh as a daisy when you go home, especially if it's the summertime. Whatever. Human beings perspire. Unless you're an Asian, in which case you don't. But I mean, most human beings perspire. But did you ever just end up next to a guy on the bus or in line? And it really is like he wakes up every morning and smears himself with some kind of rancid cheese and then just sits in a greenhouse all day. And you wonder how it is that he himself is not aware of it. Because I don't buy that thing that you can't smell your own body odor. You can smell, you know when you stink. Most of the time. Especially if you're like this last... And nobody wants to say anything about it. And it's the type of... And I'm not trying to horrify everybody, but I am trying to get this story told before the lunch hour. It's that type of body odor that's so terrible... Like, you almost wish that you could see it from above with some sort of, I don't know, with some sort of olfactory infrared camera type thing that would show you how the body odor is sort of wafting over the... And you know that everybody around you can smell it too, and yet it's an unspoken thing. It's a thing that none of you in line choose to mention. You don't talk about it, you don't acknowledge it. Anyway. It's... What? All right. It's 503, well, we'll find out. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are lacking a stenographer, so in a moment we'll have Scotty J into the studio. And he will take down the notes of the guarantees of those things and items that we are going to get to today. And then we'll move forward. Well, I might as well take this. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up?
This is the same guy that called about complaining about the house episode canceled.
Okay. This is the house episode that was overlapped by the election.
Yes, it was ridiculous, and I never saw it.
Now it's Tuesday, so
they have a new episode tonight, but they replay the old episodes, I guess, a week and a half after.
Oh, I see.
So you get to see the old episode later this week.
So you'll get to see, like, episode 12 tonight and episode 11 next week.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous.
That's mighty Christian of it.
But anyways... Did you happen to listen to the Don and Mike show last night?
I did not. I was here, but I... nobody wants to hear me complain about this. But as I mentioned yesterday, they've kicked all of us out of our offices, and we're all squatting in cubicles. And as a result, it's just a living hell. And
yeah, Tim and I have 2 feet by 1 foot lockers.
But you got a whole studio here that is your office. This is you all morning.
An office that I leave things in where people can steal from.
An office where people can come by and rub their crotch on your stuff when you're not looking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, you're lucky you have an office.
Okay.
So we don't want to hear you complain.
I'm not complaining about it. I'm simply saying one doesn't... Here's the thing about being in a cubicle is that... I spent much of my life at Intercom. We were cubicles. It's Fisher. We were in a cubicle. It's not so much the cubicle as it is the fact that they never really anticipated. They didn't make any contingency for when they kicked all of us out of our offices. And so there are like 5 cubicles and about 12 people that need places to work. And so literally there are people like double shifting it. They're like the poor couple guys. Just like there literally is one cubicle over there that has 4 guys, including the program director and the promotions director, all working in one cubicle. So, I mean, I got it pretty good. But here's the other thing, and then we'll get back to Dan here in just a second. The final observation about this, and I really am not complaining all things being equal. But did you ever do this, too? Here's the thing, where you are paying for a service, there is somebody coming, they're working for you, they're doing a thing for you, and you are giving them money in exchange for a good or a service. And yet, as they're taking your money to perform the service, they're telling you in advance about all the things that might go wrong that they're not going to accept any responsibility for. Like when you're parking, let me, like, you park in a parking garage. What is the place, why are you parking in a garage? You're parking in a garage because if you leave your car outside in the street, something bad might happen to it. It might get stolen, it might get towed, somebody might come along and hit it, it might be burgled. So what do? You park your car in the garage. You're paying for that. You're paying through the nose for it, by the way, if you have to park in downtown Portland, as Sarah and I can attest. You're parking in the garage. You are paying them for the service, and that as you are paying them, what do they say? Not responsible for anything that happens to your car. Anything that happens to it, your fault. How is it my fault? I'm not even near the goddamn car. I'm here at work. It's in your building. You're there. You got cameras everywhere. You got security. Go. What am I paying you for? You're not responsible for it. So it is with movers. You get that with movers? What do you do? Well, I'm paying a guy $250 to come move all my crap to another house down the street. Movers not responsible for broken or damaged items. What the hell kind of logic is that? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it's their job.
That I'm saying. So I got all these framed. I got a bunch of, like, some paintings and some posters and crayon, like movie posters framed on my office wall. And there's all, like, we're not responsible for any of your broken pictures. Anything you don't want. This is effectively what they said to us. Anything you don't want broken, keep with you. Don't give it to the movers. So you go to my cubicle, which is already small to begin with, because a whole bunch of people sharing all of these things. And then I got like five paintings that are all like leaning against the wall into the cubicle with me. All right, I'm done. I'm moving on. So the point is, I don't have my radio. I can't get the reception. I can't monitor the station. I did not hear Dynamike.
Oh, anyways, well, after that whole rant.
Yes.
They had a big blow-up yesterday on the show.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess Thursday and Friday they're having some technical difficulties from their new...
I did hear part of this. I heard part of this last night, but I didn't hear the resolution. And I don't mean to interrupt you, and I know I am. No, but tell me if this is what you're talking about, because it's similar to what happened to us. Remember last Tuesday, busiest, weirdest, best show ever. What happened? We start the show. Hey, I'm going to pick up the phones. Whole phone system dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to them last night, right? Their whole phone system crashed.
Well, it was more than that. It wasn't that the phone systems were dead. They were actually getting calls on for like 12 seconds and then totally cutting them off.
Really?
And they couldn't figure out what the computers were wrong with it. And I guess the engineers would come in between breaks, and they had the great answer of, well, if it's not working, turn it off and turn it back on.
Have you tried unplugging it and putting the battery back in? Yeah.
Yeah, and so they do this for like 3 or 4 breaks in the first like hour and a half of their show. And it ends up, you can tell they're pissed.
Oh, yeah. No, I would just a few, the 2 or 3 minutes I heard last night, I could hear it was exactly, and it was right at the top of the show when I heard it. And Don is doing that thing that we do where you're so, and I can tell Don Geronimo and I share, I mean, not that we're the same person, but we have certain personality traits I can tell that we share. And it's one of those where he is very much a creature of habit, and when things are off kilter, when his routine is altered, he gets frazzled. And he was doing that thing. And here's the other thing. You don't really appreciate the ability to take a call or, you know, to pick up a call, talk to somebody. You know, because, like, at this show, we're not like Tom Likas or John and Jeff. We're not a caller-driven show. We take calls, but it's not like we just spend the whole day doing nothing but taking calls. You don't really appreciate that, though, until you see a call on the screen or you have something you want to ask the audience. You never really think about it until there's, like, a specific time you want to take a call. You could go all day. Not take a call doesn't bother you until exactly that one moment you really want to do it for some reason and you can't, and then it ruins the entire show.
Yeah, and I mean, they had stuff planned for the show, and it obviously involves caller's input.
Right.
And nothing could be done. They come back from a break, and 3 guys in a row get cut off from the phone. And the engineer tells them, well, it's a problem with people that are calling that have private numbers.
Oh, yeah, blame the user.
Being dumb.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's another favorite, like a text support trick. Blame the person on the other end that can't be brought in to be questioned.
Yeah, and so they go through that, and they're like, okay, it was funny the first couple times it happened. I mean, you can make light of it and be like, oh, well, our phones don't work. Let's just get on with the show. But after a while, he was like, seriously, I know that you guys don't take our show as seriously as we do, but you need to get this fixed. I need some sense of urgency around here. And they literally cut off the show with 90 minutes left to go. They're like, fix this. I want to see somebody run in here right now and start fixing it, because tomorrow we're coming back on, and if it's not fixed, then, you know, fire us or whatever, but we can't work without microphones and without phones.
Here's a dumb question. What did our radio station do at that point?
they actually played old comedy clips for 10 minutes. You know how
just like
you
old
do
times.
That a lot?
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I think they played an old episode of Don and Mike.
Well, when you say, I wonder if that was... Okay. Well, I'm hoping that originated on their end from the network, and I'm assuming it did. I'm assuming that they had Rob or somebody at the Don and Mike show just putting stuff on.
Well, they were ripping into everybody on their own staff.
Oh, no. It's
They ripped into Rob. They ripped into the tech guys. They were saying, you know what?
Oh,
None of these guys work 100%.
Oh, I have to go back and listen. See, that? See, I just love Discord and anarchy in any way. Now I have to go back and listen.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, fantastic. Good times.
I listen to your show every day, but I once in a while catch their show. And, I mean, it was the best time to catch it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really, and as horrible as it is to be on the other end of that, and again, we were just last week, we came in and, you know, to their credit, the engineers of the show came in and they had it fixed in about 15 minutes. But it is the worst feeling in the world to be, maybe not, maybe having a huge tumor inside your head is worse, but it's a bad feeling when you're in here and you're going, and it's always something really simple, like Tim will go to speak, and instead of it normal voice, it'll be crack, and it really is a small thing. It really is a minor thing in the grand scheme of things, but when you're doing a radio program, it is the entire train comes off the tracks, rolls down a hill into a manure filled sludge pit, and then explodes.
You definitely need to check that out.
Oh, it's fantastic to listen to. Yeah, it is great radio when it's somebody else.
I know they handled it way worse than I've ever heard you handle it.
They have, I gotta tell you, and this we'll quit talking about Don and Mike because we got stuff to do, but some people are fans, some people are not, whatever. But the thing about Don and Mike is, and they've gotten a lot better actually about this, because Don Geronimo used to have just the worst temper on earth, and as you probably heard last night, that guy can still he can still snap like a dry twig.
He did.
But I remember, really did. Oh God, I remember back in the day, like 10 years ago, I would listen to those, and some tiny like the water would be the wrong temperature in the water cooler, or just somebody, and he would just, you know, I'm gonna kick somebody's ass like that. Man, I used to just. Here's one quick Don and Mike story. When I worked in Utah, we had them on, and Don and Mike frequently take the Lord's name in vain. And I got to tell you that we had somebody call up, some listener, some guy in Utah called up Don and Mike and complained about it and said, "Well, we don't appreciate you taking the Lord's name in vain." And for whatever reason, they then spent the rest of the day on the phone because I was the program director of the station, trying to find me. Like, I remember, we're calling the program director in Salt Lake City right now to find out what's wrong with people there. It's just they spent 4 hours trying to stalk me on the phone. They've gotten a lot better about it, though.
Well, Mike was definitely a calming influence in that studio last night. You could tell.
Excellent.
But he was still pretty mad himself.
All right. Well, I have to go back and listen to it now.
Don just went off.
Fantastic. All right, thank you.
Anyway,
thank you, sir.
Thanks.
There you go. Thanks for the update. Good times. All right. Yeah, it's the worst feeling in the world. Entertaining when it's others, not entertaining when it's yourself. What are we... Oh, for the love of... Okay, well, let's just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to...
Thank you so much.
Scotty J, how are you, sir?
Good morning.
All right, so our stenographer is not able to be here today. Not able to join us. For reasons that we will not disclose, we will not disclose the identity of said stenographer. We will not identify why said stenographer cannot be calling. Because I don't wish to get any... I don't wish for anybody to be any ill effects from this radio program. So, all right. So here's what we're going to do today. We have... Does Scotty smell?
No, he doesn't smell. He smells like cologne.
Scotty.
Are you wearing cologne? He smells like he bathed in cologne.
No, I thought for a minute it was coffee breath.
Is this that
like
same cologne you wear that costs like $100
a
bottle?
This is literally three bottles for $3 stuff.
Jesus Christ.
Called Playa.
No, are you kidding me?
Awesome.
Not, are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Are you wearing a cologne called Playa?
Yeah. I can't help the name. It just smelled good. That's all.
I've seen... I don't even know where to go with this. See, here's the perversity of that is now I almost want to smell it. Do you have a bottle here? Do you have a bottle with you?
I do not. I'll bring it tomorrow.
All right, come over here. I want to smell you. Come here. I gotta know what a dollar cologne called Playa smells like. All right. Well, that's not so bad,
not
actually.
Not much of a smell at all.
Where did you get that at?
Probably like Rite Aid or something like that. I saw it sitting there and it said Playa, and in the cart it went.
That's genius.
You could have got one of those big boxes of milk duds for the same price.
Darn it. Should have done that.
You could have gotten like a pencil box that has like a little like a music box with like a little pink ballerina that plays God Bless the USA for that dollar. All right. Jesus. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Run on that. Today, guy walks into a thing you're never, ever, ever supposed to walk into.
Okay.
Crap you didn't know you could eat. We continue to talk about the Britney Spears sex tape just because I want to talk about it. Today we have front row tickets and backstage for Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. Their farewell performance at the Schnitzer this Friday, emceed by Tim Riley and myself. Let's see, we will talk to Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and we'll ask the magical question, what the hell is wrong with Michael Jackson's hands? So there you go. That's what we got, my friend.
Okay, perfect.
And I was at what, 42 push-ups? I think it was 42.
Okay.
Because it's the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy number.
Yeah, we'll put it at 42.
All right, there you go.
Do you want me to repeat it real fast?
No, it's fine. Okay, I know. Perfect. I got it written down.
Yes, perfect.
All right, thank you. And okay, thanks. Is the stenographer going to be able to check in later?
I can't tell you that for sure because we can't talk about him.
All right.
But yes.
Okay. There you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Extill. That is actually not a bad cologne. I take it all back.
Yeah, he doesn't smell bad. It was just really strong when he came wafting
in. But don't you think isn't that like a generational thing? Isn't that like a guy, because if he's, what, 40? So he was born in 66, so 76. So he was like 13. In other words, so Scotty, this is weird to think about. Scotty J was just entering manhood. He was just becoming a young man at the height of the disco era, which is like 1979. So if he was born in 66, he was 13 in 1979. So Scotty J was just discovering the sweet touch of thinking about the sweet touch of the fairer sex right at the height of the disco era when all of your ideas about how to impress women are formed. When you're like 13, 14, 15. That's when all those ideas solidify. So I think that may, in fact, be a generational thing. All right, and so forth. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
The Tomcats are in Italy in preparation for their nuptials. The Jolie Pits get cold feet for their Vegas wedding on ice. Show me your underwear, a Portland cop tells women during traffic stops. And Romanian peasants are upset over their squalid depiction in Borat.
Fantastic. So, yeah, we have today's obligatory Borat story. We'll talk about it later on. And, by the way, I just want to say this really quickly. Just because I had two people send it to me today. Don't miss Paula Poundstone. Whatever you do, for the love of God, don't miss Paula Poundstone. Who apparently is going to be at the Aladdin Theater next April. I swear to God, next April, they're putting tickets on Paula Poundstone. They're putting tickets for 6 months in advance. And for some reason, it was said, "Hello, Michael Smith." They think my name is Paula Poundstone at the Aladdin Theater. I wasn't aware. Do you ever know the people that you aren't aware that they're fans of them? Like, who do you know that is a Paula Poundstone fan?
None.
I don't hate Paula Poundstone. There's people that... it's not even that they're bad, because I don't even really know... I don't really know even what Paula Poundstone does. I'm assuming it's comedy of some kind, but I couldn't tell you what kind of joke she tells. I couldn't tell you what kind of material it is. But apparently she comes to town and does a thing. It's just that I don't know anybody who feels one way or the other. I guess what I'm saying is I can't fathom anybody actually opening their wallet and proactively spending money for the chance to be in the same room as Paula Poundstone. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Right below that, Air Supply. All right. Well, we got stuff to do, but there's no time because we got Lisa Goddard is going to come on. The listeners have compiled many exciting names. The Lisa Goddard should be taken.
I'll give you $10 if you say Emerson.
Really?
No, I don't have $10. I'll give you a quarter.
Okay, that's not the same. How many push-ups will you take off if I suggest Lisa Emerson? I'll do it. I'll totally do it.
It'll be 10 push-ups. It'll be 10. I'll take off 10.
You'll take off 10 push-ups. All I have to suggest to her is... because now, if you didn't... and then we really have to break it.
It's sound kind of lecherous when you say it.
No, you can't go putting qualifications on
it. All right, no, then we'll do 5. 5 push-ups.
You can't... No. You agreed to 10.
No, we're still in negotiations.
We didn't. You said 10. I said 10. You said okay.
No, I said okay. They're like, okay, well, all I'm going to do is say this.
I didn't say
you gotta
that.
You got to really pound it into
no,
it.
No. Do I?
Not anymore, Dang. My friend. She's off the market.
No. Yeah, they haven't even set a date yet.
So then we do have to break it, but Lisa Goddard came on yesterday and revealed her engagement. Although it's not really an engagement until you set a date and you register and you do a thing and you get her. There's no ring, and I don't know if there was. She didn't say if there was a ring. If there's no date, there's no engagement. But she doesn't want to keep. Well, she wants to take his. What is the thing that she wants to take his last name? Oh yeah, but it's an awkward and weird last.
Sporbert.
Sporbert. So she's looking for a new last name. All right. Let's see. Let's do this. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. You say that. Back into this. Ha. All right, then. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I meant to do this last segment, and I didn't. I meant to play the Wake Up with Whoopi sound. I'm
You've been meaning
like
to do that for 2 weeks.
See, the thing is that I built it up into this thing that's impossibly great. And by great, I mean impossibly terrible.
You haven't built up waking up with Whoopi to be that great.
It really is a Sisyphean task. Is the building vibrating where you are?
I'm totally freezing, though. It's really cold.
See, I'm warm, you're cold. You don't feel a vibration. You'd overhear it seems like the floor is shaking.
But on my bike ride home yesterday, I kept taking my phone out of my purse because I swear I felt my bike vibrating.
That's what
you
I'm
did
saying.
That to me.
No,
yeah.
But I only mention it because it started happening to me where I'd be walking along the street and I would stop and I'd go, well, somebody's calling me. Take it out. No calls, no messages, no nothing. It's a phantom, the phantom phone buzzing. Don't make any sense at all. Here's the thing, and then we have to talk to Lisa, but I just got to say this, not that we have to talk to Lisa, I'm saying we get to talk to Lisa. In a moment, we will be graced by the presence of Lisa Goddard. I'm simply saying that when you start to get that phantom cell phone ring, and then the phantom cell phone buzz, and I'll ask Lisa if she gets this too, then what you start to think is cancer. Because you start to think that the cell phone is like sending radiation out. It's doing something weird to your
Nobody
muscles.
Nobody thinks that.
You think that. Well, you'll think it now.
I'm
thinking
really
about how you're saturating the side of your head with invisible waves, gamma radiation, or whatever.
You know, we spend half our lives with those things stuck to our heads anyway. We're all going to get cancer.
You're all going to get Siskel.
Don't say you. I see you talking on that thing more than I do.
Yeah, I know. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. We're all going to die. From the Hill, Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
Easy.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Am I interrupting you in the middle of a sandwich?
No, I think you cut into me. I said you're kind of crazy.
Oh,
he
well.
He is kind of crazy. But you know what, Lisa? He's actually been taking some time and thinking of some really good last names for you.
And the craziness is one of my endearing traits, by the way. It's right next to my charm and my stunning good looks.
It is, well.
It's not so much that I... That was interesting that you sort of said yeah to the others, and then when I said stunning good looks, you just kind of went, yeah, well.
Well, I've never seen you. I can't comment on your looks.
It is a modern...
You have the internet right now, right,
but
Lisa?
Don't look at the internet.
Oh, no, I don't know if I want to get into this.
No,
I don't know.
The internet picture. Here's
come
the thing. No,
on,
let me just
look.
Say this. No, but before... And she can, but let me just... She's an independent woman, but let me just say this. I was just talking to somebody over at... We're in three different buildings here in Portland. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about how... We got to get new photos taken for the show because I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm just not the most photogenic person. It has nothing to do with how one actually. Some people photograph well. Some people do not. Regardless of you know, there's beautiful people don't photograph well. There's ugly people that look fine.
Which one are you? Are you the deep angsty acoustic rock looking guy, or are you the guy that looks like Anderson Cooper? On your website.
Oh, no, Tim Riley's Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, that is our news director, Tim Riley, who's Anderson Cooper.
There we go, yeah.
Are you just at rickemerson.com?
Yes.
All right, so you're looking at the one where I have glasses and I'm sort of squinty?
Yes.
Oh, and I'm looking all sassy with a cocktail?
See, that's not a bad photograph of me. It's not a great photograph, but this is now a conversation that like 1% of the audience cares about, but I don't care. I'm just going to say, the photograph you're talking about at rickemerson.com, it's not the good photograph of me, but it was taken during the same photo shoot at which the best photograph ever of me was taken. And I don't think that's actually online anywhere. I think I used it. I send it to, like, whenever there's... If newspapers or something do anything, that's what I send it to them. But this... That's actually not a terrible photograph of me right there, that one.
Yeah, it's like I'm sensitive and angry. That's what I get from that.
Thank you.
Awesome. It's a pensive look.
I'm sensitive and contrived. But there is this terrible photograph of me, and it's probably somewhere on the website, that literally a guy, it's like a totally candid shot where I was like doing some crap at the station one day, and I was walking by a white wall, and a guy's like, wait, stop, look at me for a second. And I looked over and he goes, it took a photograph, totally unprepared, whatever. And that's the photograph that CBS radio uses on all of their promotional material.
Oh, great.
And it's fantastic. And just yesterday, I'm over at the other building, this is one of the three buildings we have here in Portland, and somebody else comes up to me and said, well, you're not so terrible. Why do you use this awful photograph of yourself? And she sort of walked off. So now I'm even more self-conscious. We got to get different photographs. See, Sarah is very photogenic. She photographs
beautiful.
She photographs very well. Tim Riley, you know, he's got that great sort of, I'm a serious newsman. I'm here to present
them. Tim is very photogenic.
Tim is very photogenic. I am not. And all of my photographs.
You've taken some good pictures.
I have to squint and then I have to make them into black and white to cover my to cover the fact that I'm so pale.
That's what I did with the Joshua Jackson one because I was too flush, so I took it to black and white.
Here's the thing, Lisa Goddard, you missed our Joshua Jackson interview.
I know. I was just talking to a friend of mine 2 nights ago about that.
Now, he was both sensitive and brooding. And intelligent.
And intelligent and well-spoken.
That's why we love him.
No, it's true. And he wore like a Judd Hirsch in Ordinary People, like cardigan. Like he looked, like he should have been eating clam chowder in Maine.
Wow.
It totally looked like a leftover from like Dawson's Creek wardrobe.
Totally. And he talked very knowledgeably. We had a big discussion about politics. He's a smart guy. He was very cool. Actually, a great interview. So,
I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah. How did we get onto photographs and how did we even start that?
Well, you put it out there. I think you were saying in addition to...
Oh, my stunning good looks.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that was in the abstract when you couldn't actually see me.
yes.
And blah, 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 sandwich and a thing. I don't even know what the hell we were talking about. I had some observation, but you just got to know this, by the way, before we move on to talk about Trent Lott.
Yes.
You got to know that Scotty J, the man who takes your call when you phone in here, is currently wearing a cologne called Playa, which cost $1. So,
hey!
Just so you know.
I like it.
All right.
Playa.
It looks...
Is that the Kevin Federline?
Yeah. No, but Kevin Federline is loser. Kevin Federline is. Let's talk about our good friend Trent Lott. And by good friend, I mean an endless source of entertainment. Him and, boy, could you find a worse rug to have on top of your head than that guy has?
You could, and there are people that have them up here, but he's in there.
And let me ask you this real quickly. Speaking of bad rugs, whatever happened to James Traficant? Where's that guy these days? Is he just in prison, just sitting in a cage somewhere?
Fine, yeah.
They had to give that guy a webcam and, like, a web page. I would totally watch him. So, Trent Lott, you got to admire this guy. I mean, it really is like, it's almost like momentum here because he made those remarks about Strom Thurmond, I don't know, 3-4 years ago.
Right.
And then they booted him down. And now he's attempted to secure, what is it, the minority whip job? Is that what he's trying to get?
Yeah, it's the number two job. It'll be when Republicans are the minority, that'll be their number two guy.
Okay.
That's what he wants. And it's the guy who lines up the votes, make sure that they have the numbers that they need. You know, really does a lot of the, you know, he's the staff sergeant on the ground. He's deploying troops. He's the one who knows where everybody is.
Here's something I've always wondered. Is the job actually called whip, or is that sort of a colloquialism that has sprung up?
No, it's actually called Minority Whip. That is his title.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
Isn't that great? Yep.
Well, you got to admire a guy, though, that, I mean, it really has. I mean, that's a political fortitude to be able to, you know, to climb his way back there. And so is that just because he is, like many politicians, a power seeker, and that's what he, you know, so he wants that position, or is that, I mean, is it too early to speculate whether this is part of some grand plan that Trent Lott has for the rest of us?
Well, first of all, it's not a done deal. He is going up against Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander, who last week said he's got the majority of the votes within the Republican caucus. He says he's got it, but then Trent Lott behind the scenes has sort of come up saying that he thinks he can win, and we'll see. It's really coming down to a pretty close race. In fact, just 5 minutes ago, Senator Susan Collins of Maine, I just heard her during a press conference say that, you know, that she was asked about it, and she was nervously laughing, saying, oh, they're both great candidates. You know, so it is a very close race. I think for Trent Lott, I think he is a man who is incredibly skilled at doing this. He knows parliamentary procedure as well as anybody up here. He is the man who is going to come up with your Steve Spurrier trick play at the last minute on the Senate floor, and it's going to work. And I think that he wants to be back in it. interesting for us, a lot of some reporters, you know, are saying one of the benefits if he came into office is that he is a bit of a loose cannon sometimes. He doesn't always side with the White House. He kind of does his own thing. Lamar Alexander's a little bit more quiet, a little bit more go with the flow, although now Lamar Alexander today was sounding off about the White House a little bit for the first time that I've ever heard him. So the game is on. What is tomorrow?
In terms of the White House, as a side note, is there a sense of, and I get the feeling that there is very demonstrably so, is there sort of a blood in the water sense there that it's not just a jockeying for position, but it's very much a sense of vulnerability that everybody's sort of, this is the time to kick at that Achilles heel that the White House has suddenly developed?
Yeah, you know, I think there's two things going on. I think that everyone in Congress, especially the House, but also the Senate, has had a growing resentment, Republicans, toward the White House, feeling like the White House was not consulting them, feeling like they really didn't have the role that they should have in governing, and that the White House was kind of ignoring them. So that's been growing. But now that they've lost the election, the White House is definitely where they're pointing their fingers. And not only are they personally blaming the White House, but it's also a political game. They know that voters are blaming the White House for a lot of problems too, so they're getting on board that train.
And to back on Trent Lott for a second, the great thing about the political process and just the sort of the atmosphere that's developed around it these days is that it really does seem like your career as a politician, and it probably isn't as a religious leader too, because those two things are often so similar to each other, that it can be quashed a lot faster than it used to be.
Right.
But your rebirth, though, can also be a lot faster, because if for no other reason than it is sort of a moving target, in that what Bill Clinton or Trent Lott did 4 or 8 years ago that was horrifying, with every passing year just becomes more and more quaint as new and more hideous scandals erupt. You know what I mean? Because Monica Lewinsky horrifies everybody until Mark Foley is caught, text messaging a fetus, and then everything just seems relative. You know what I mean?
Well, Trent Lott himself has this quote. He's told me that anything, voters can forget about anything after 90 days. If you can get through a scandal after 90 days, you're good. Obviously, that didn't work for him with the Strom Thurmond scandal the first time around, but it's working for him now. He is a man who is convicted about, wipe out the slate. He is a political mind and strategic, and he knows that if you can get past the voters' idea, wait a couple of years and come back. Look at Strom Thurmond himself.
Yep.
He was an ardent segregationist, and his state loved him right until the day he died.
As a final observation, this is actually totally off point, but only because I forgot to bring it up yesterday. So it seems very transparent that the McCain is, I mean, he's the jockeying has begun,
he's running,
right? I mean,
yeah.
The positioning has begun. Is that, would that explain the fact that over the last year he seems to have largely, at least anecdotally, abandoned his, because he used to look all independent. Now he just looks like he's walking around in George Bush's left pocket.
Well, it's really been 2 years, maybe even a little bit more, since he signed on to the George Bush program, or at least since he went around, he was campaigning with George Bush in the last election. Two years ago. And it's interesting, I was there covering the George Bush John McCain race in South Carolina in 2000, that race that was so ugly. And I remember the McCain people, I remember John McCain himself, how bitter they were, how angry they were, saying they would never stoop to the things that the Bush campaign stooped to. It's two things. I guess McCain probably is telling himself, he's the president, I think it's good for the country and my party to work with him, but it is smart for him also. He's got to get conservatives to believe in him as well. And he's not a moderate. He's not necessarily moderate on every issue. On some issues, he is. But compared to Bush, he's more moderate. But compared to other Republicans, he's more on the conservative side on some issues. And he's trying to get that base back in his pocket. You're right. He's going for it. So is Rudy Giuliani. We've seen a lot of emails about him in the last couple of days. In fact, his people raised a grand hoo-ha with CNN, and that's an official term, much like whip.
Okay.
With CNN over, we made a statement saying that Giuliani has disagreed with the president's tax cuts in the past, and there is still a back and forth over whether he has or hasn't. We're pretty sure that he did, but perhaps he's changed his tune. Anyways, these guys are definitely paying attention to every word written and said about them.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be the best thing ever. Before you go, I had a listener who took your name and the last name of your fiancé.
Excellent.
And then he apparently found some anagram generator. And I don't know that they're strictly speaking, because I think actually technically anagrams have to use all of the letters. But it was names derived solely using Goddard and Spock. and Sporbert sort of merged into one. Unfortunately, they're all really bad.
Oh, no.
It was a lot of Lisa Soda Tap. Lisa Sport Bar. Lisa, one of them, unfortunately, and again, these are this is strictly a mathematical thing. These are the names that were generated. Lisa Retardor, which is awful. I'm just reading off the list. This is the list he sent me. The best one is Lisa Toadspore. So I think this is perhaps this is not the way to find a new that because none of those really. What is it you wanted?
I wanted.
You wanted delightful intrigue.
Intrigue, yeah, delightful intrigue. That's what I wanted.
And Toadspore doesn't really. That's more of a Harry Potter kind of vibe that you probably.
Yeah,
don't want
more.
To know. So I'll have my peeps continue
more of
to.
More scary disgust.
Yes, exactly. I'll have my players continue to look into that.
You know, okay, this is where I turn into a reporter. I feel bad about Strom Thurmond. For Strom Thurmond fans out there. I know he said he was an ardent segregationist. I feel like I've just got to mention, of course, that he changed his policies later on in life.
He changed his policies later after committing statutory rape with a black woman.
I'm just saying.
So we're not going all crazy with the whitewashing of Strom Thurmond's background.
I'm not sure how old that maid was. I've got to remember that. But yeah, his African American daughter's name is now on the monument to him in Columbia, South Carolina.
Is that true?
That is true. They added it after he died.
It is kind of amazing how all of that managed to just stay hidden until he had shuffled off his mortal coil.
Well, it's really in a way to her credit that's how she thought of her father. She did have some kind of relationship with him, and out of respect for him, that was the decision she made to wait until he died.
I got to tell you, I just Strom Thurmond, and I have this theory, and we're so over time, and I know this, but I did. And now we've gone from talking about Trent Lott to Toadspore to Strom Thurmond to Playa to my pictures. But my thing about Strom Thurmond is this, and this is in the conversation for another time. It is a strong maxim here on the Rick Emerson Show that contrary to conventional wisdom, that the camera does not lie. People say that the camera lies, and I don't think that's true. I think people saw Bill Clinton on television, and they knew that he was. Effectively, he was a smart, if somewhat weaselly and smarmy guy.
Yeah.
They knew that he was brilliant but a lech. People saw Richard Nixon on television and they knew that he was brilliant but evil. Every time I ever saw Strom Thurmond on television, just the vibe I got off of that guy was like the vibe I got off some of my older, more hideous relatives, which is just. Just an aura that represents everything that I've sort of tried to get away from in my own outlook in this world, not to make myself.
Wow, we do need to explore this further.
Anyway, otherwise we're just going to degenerate into. We're just going to become the IMIS show. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill. We will speak to you very soon, sister.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Lisa got Lisa Toadspore on the Hill. There you go.
Totally wimped out.
I did.
I know. Yeah.
I don't owe you additional push-ups.
You don't. But you're not taking 10 away.
That
was way too many. I was
no,
a little nervous.
No, it was just. It was. I couldn't.
I thought that you were with the randomly generated mixed names. I thought you were going to throw in Emerson. That would have been kooky and funny, and then it wouldn't have been creepy. But you totally blew it.
No, I couldn't. No, because I couldn't.
Oh, look at this, Lisa.
But
one of them's Emerson. But she would have giggled, and then you could have moved on.
But that would have been obvious because... fine. What? Hello. Hi. Rick Emerson Show. Who is this, please?
Well, hello. This is Boel, and I had a suggestion for Lisa.
Okay.
Which actually is a combination of her fiancé's name and hers, but I might not have the delightful intrigue part, but take the first letter and the last letter of her fiancé's name, and then the last part of hers, and make it Stoddard.
Stoddard.
Like oh, that's Ruben, a good last
like,
name.
Like Ruben Stoddard.
Who's that?
The American Idol guy. Ruben Stoddard. All right. Okay, I will pass. We'll probably talk to her in the next day or so. I will pass it along.
All right.
Great, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right, there you go. Happy, Scotty? Because here's the thing. Is that Emerson, here's what I can't do.
It's all right. We can stop talking about the fact that you wimped out.
I did wimp out. But I'm saying there was a reason for it, because A, we'd spend an uncomfortably long period of time talking about my photograph and having her, what did she describe me as? Something in angsty?
The sensitive angsty guy. Oh, that's funny.
I couldn't tell how sarcastic she was being there. Like, was that just sarcasm? Or was that sarcasm shot through with truth? And then I'm reading the anagram list, and I couldn't read a whole list of anagrams. You know, Toadspore, Boot Bar or whatever the hell they all were, Retardgore or whatever that one which was hilarious, and then go Emerson, because it would be patently obvious that I just sort of thrown that in myself.
But that's what would have been funny is because it is obvious that that's not a mix. That's what I'm saying is that it would have been cutesy and you wouldn't have sounded creepy. But that's basically the only time you could have done it.
I think it would officially sound creepy. Anyway, I think it would have sounded just as creepy had I thrown it in there. I think that I'll have to work on it. See, now it's been built up into this whole thing now. It's been built up into this massive thing I got to get done.
I don't even know what Lisa Goddard looks like. I haven't looked at any pictures of her.
Have you ever?
Mm-mm.
No, she's cute. I thought it was a thing that, like, every time we had a new CNN correspondent, because there was a time, it doesn't seem possible now, but there was a time when she was new and we'd never talked to her. And the listeners will track down photographs. You know, are you sure she has long blonde hair? Or at least she does in the photograph. Well, anyway. You know who doesn't look anything like he sounds? Is Ed McCarthy.
Okay.
Ed McCarthy doesn't sound anything like he sounds.
Oh, she's cute.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the photograph. That's the one from CNN.
Wearing kind of a low-cut shirt.
I didn't notice. The real question is, does Lisa Goddard go gay? Remember the... Why did she even say that the other day? In what context was she even using that phrase?
I don't know.
It's all very interesting. Okay. Are we breaking? Hello, we're breaking. And another hour inexplicably gone. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Back after this with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, and the AM 970 Noon News Hour.